the air in San Luis Obispo usually carries a cool coastal breeze that settles over the campus of California Polytechnic State University. But on the morning of May 25, 1996, the atmosphere felt unusually heavy. It was the start of Memorial Day weekend, a time when most students were either sleeping off the celebrations of the night before or heading home to their families. I have walked those red brick paths and stood outside the concrete dormitories many times since then, looking at the windows of Muir Hall and wondering how a person of such vibrant presence could simply vanish into the early morning mist. There were no signs of a struggle on the lawns, and no witnesses reported hearing a scream as the sun began to crest over the Santa Lucia Mountains. Her roommate would eventually return to find a room that looked exactly as it had the day before, with a purse and identification still sitting untouched on the desk. This stillness was the first indicator that something had gone fundamentally wrong. For 25 years, that silence remained the only constant in a case that haunted the Central Coast. It would take decades of technological advancement and the relentless pressure of a community that refused to forget before we could finally confirm the fate of 19-year-old Kristen Smart. The chronological reconstruction of that night begins at an off-campus birthday party on Crandall Way, where the music and the crowd provided a backdrop for a series of small, seemingly insignificant decisions. Witnesses would later testify that she appeared heavily intoxicated, struggling to maintain her footing as the party wound down around 2 in the morning. Two other students, Cheryl Anderson and Tim Davis, found her passed out on a neighbor's lawn and decided to help her navigate the walk back to her dormitory. It was during this walk that a third student joined the group, a freshman who lived in the Santa Lucia Hall dorms and who appeared to emerge from the darkness with an offer of assistance. Tim Davis was the first to depart, heading to his own vehicle as the remaining trio continued toward the campus perimeter. When they reached the point where Cheryl Anderson needed to turn toward her own residence at Sierra Madre Hall, the male student insisted that he could handle the rest of the journey alone. He assured her that since his dormitory was just a short distance from Muir Hall, he would ensure the young woman made it to her door safely. This was the last time any independent witness saw her alive. When investigators first interviewed the young man, he claimed he walked her as far as his own building and watched her walk the final distance to her dorm on her own. He appeared at that initial interview with a prominent black eye, a physical mark he first attributed to a basketball game and later to a mechanical mishap while working on his truck. His peers in the basketball game quickly denied his account, providing the first crack in a story that would be scrutinized for a quarter of a century. The investigation eventually shifted from the campus grounds to the digital and forensic evidence that had been quietly accumulating over the decades. I reviewed the records of the various search warrants served at the residence of the suspect's father in Arroyo Grande, where the focus turned toward the earth beneath a large wooden deck. In March of 2021, a team of archaeologists and forensic experts utilized ground-penetrating radar to scan the soil, identifying a distinct anomaly measuring approximately 6 feet long and 4 feet deep. This was the exact size and shape of a human grave. When the soil was finally excavated and subjected to the HemDirect test, it yielded a positive result for human blood, though the biological material had degraded too significantly over time to produce a viable DNA profile. This forensic find was coupled with evidence recovered from the suspect's home in San Pedro, which included a collection of digital media that documented a long-standing pattern of predatory behavior. The records showed that investigators had also intercepted phone calls and utilized wiretaps that captured revealing conversations between the suspect and his mother, suggesting a deep level of family involvement in the concealment of the crime. Cadaver dogs alerted specifically to a 1985 Volkswagen Cabriolet that had been in the family's possession since the year of the disappearance. The evidence was a patchwork of technical data and physical remnants that pointed to a single conclusion. The body had once been buried beneath that deck before being moved to an unknown location. It was this biological evidence, combined with the testimony of witnesses who came forward after listening to a local podcast, that provided the probable cause necessary to finally move toward an arrest. The legal proceedings culminated in a Monterey County courtroom, where the weight of 25 years of investigation was finally presented to a jury, Paul Flores stood trial for first-degree murder, while his father, Ruben Flores, was charged as an accessory after the fact for his alleged role in hiding the remains. The prosecution built a case around the theory that the murder occurred during an attempted rape within the confines of a dormitory room. A crime of opportunity that turned into a decades-long conspiracy. In October of 2022, the jury returned a guilty verdict for Paul Flores, marking the first time the legal system officially held him accountable for the events of that Memorial Day weekend. His father was acquitted of the accessory charge, a decision that highlighted the difficulty of proving a cover-up without the physical recovery of a body. In March of 2023, the court sentenced Paul Flores to 25 years to life in state prison, ensuring that the man who was the last to see her alive would spend the majority of his remaining years behind bars. The judge noted the profound cruelty of the defendant's actions and the decades of anguish inflicted upon the family. While the remains of the victim have never been located, the conviction provided a definitive ending to the official investigation. The files were moved from active status to the archives, closing a chapter that had defined the San Luis Obispo Sheriff's Office for an entire generation. The resolution of the case stands as a testament to the fact that even in the absence of a body, the truth can eventually be unearthed through the persistence of forensic science and the refusal of the law to let a cold case go quiet.